last savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. I'm Mustafa as your host, and with me is Brother Alavi in the studio. He has a PhD in philosophy and is an Islamic researcher. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much. So we've been discussing, you know, what are some of the characteristics of the society of the Imam? What are some of the misconceptions and doubts about of the Imam? And one of the topics that we want to discuss today is something that I think we don't really hear about a lot or even possibly talk about a lot, is, well, what are the companions of the 12th Imam going to look like, right? We know, for example, what the companions of our Prophet, what they look like. We know how the companions of Imam Hussein were like. But I would love to know if we have any information about what companions of the Imam will look like. And I feel like we have the opportunity to actually become one of those companions, right?
Very true, yeah.
So for more reasons than that, I want to know, what can I do, for example, if I want to become a companion of the Imam?
We have lots of features and characteristics defined in the hadith and in the words of Ahlul Bayt and infallible Imams as for the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. I want to start with a famous hadith that has been narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has been narrated even by both sects, that is Ahl Sunnah and Shia. All of the Islamic denominations agree on this hadith. Let's start with this. And this is a hadith that actually emphasizes the knowledge of Imam, or ma'rafah of Imam. So one of the key characteristics of companions of Imam is their knowledge of Imam. That is, they know Imam well in the right way that they need to know Imam alayhi salam. So what is this? And the hadith says that man mata wa lam ya'rif Imam zamani mata mitatan jahiliyah. That is, if a person passes away and he doesn't know his Imam of the time, it is as if he has passed the death of ignorance, the death of jahiliyyah.
Right.
So it means that a person who dies in a time and he doesn't know who is his Imam of his time, he passed away as he is a jahil, person who is ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never ever left his earth without any proof. Right?
Right.
So we need to know who is the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sin of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Once it was Adam alayhi salam, once it was Musa alayhi salam, once it was Isa. At the time of the Prophet, the Imam of the time was the Prophet himself. At the time of Prophet Ibrahim, at the end of his message, he became the Imam.
Right.
After being a prophet, he became the Imam.
We're not just saying, like, we know their name, for example, where they live, like where they're from, how tall.
Yeah.
We're really talking knowing them in the sense of what we should be doing for them, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Look, in this knowledge that we are talking about, to know that he is the divine messenger of Allah or divine representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the scene of the earth. To know exact name of him is, I don't know, these are not the case. As far as we know that he is the one that is going to be the leader of the ummah, the leader of the humanity, appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, Allah knows where to put his message, through whom to transfer his message. And that's why that after the demise of the Prophet, when some of the companions of the Prophet came to visit Lady Fatima salam ala alayha, while she was in bed and out of that sickness or those issues that actually led to the sickness of her, she asked them, have you ever heard of this hadith from my dad? That he said that man mata wa lam ya'rif imam zamani mata mitatan jahiliyah. And asked them, who is your Imam of the time?
Right.
So this is a crucial question that she knew that even these companions have heard of it from the tongue of the Holy Prophet.
Okay, so we're back from the break, and The narration that we were discussing was about how the Prophet has said that the one who dies without knowing the Imam of his or her time, they will die the death of an ignorant person, correct?
Yeah.
I was just saying that it's possible for someone to know who the Imam is, but to deny that right towards them, right?
True.
If someone does that, then it's the same as not really knowing the Imam.
The same of that ignorant person.
Yeah. Now we know that, for example, the companions of the Prophet, the companions of the Imams, you know, they were ready to sacrifice everything for the religion, for the Imam. Is there something different about the companions of the 12th Imam, which would differentiate them from, let's say, the other companions of the Imam? Is there anything like that?
Yeah, because they have believed in Imam while they haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very crucial difference. Look, they actually accepted the Islam while they haven't seen the Prophet. They have accepted to a book called Al-Quran while they haven't seen the person who brought this message. They have heard of a person by the name of Imam Ali al-Islam, and they agreed and accepted, and they followed him. So they accepted a comprehensive pack of religion and with all its details while they haven't seen any of them from close, let's say. The Holy Prophet said about the importance of knowing and knowledge of Imam, which was quite a common hadith among different denominations in Islam.
Right.
I want to move to a hadith that is exclusively from the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam.
Okay.
That is from Imam Baqir alayhi.
Yes, please.
Imam says that لا يكون العبد مؤمنا حتى يعرف الله ورسوله والأئمة كلهم وإمام زمانه. That is, a person will not be a mu'min, a believer, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Prophet, and all the Imams after the Holy Prophet, and specifically Imam of his time.
Okay.
That is Imam Zaman, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He is not included as a mu'min, a person who does not know his Imam of the time. So this is as per the importance of knowledge of the Imam.
This is sort of maybe a side question, but why do you think that's the case? Like if somebody, let's say I say, I accept the Prophet, I accept God, I pray, why am I not being considered as a believer?
Maybe
I didn't understand the imamate issue, right? Why is it so important?
Yeah, very good. When you want to know your Imam of the time, you need to know again who has appointed him as the Imam.
Okay.
Again, you want to see that, okay, this lineage that actually has led to appointing him as an imam is a right lineage, is a valid lineage, is an authentic lineage or not.
Okay.
Second, you will get back to the Holy Prophet. You want to say, okay, about the authenticity of this prophet himself. Is he a valid personality or not?
Right.
Again, who has appointed this prophet? You will get back to the source. So you need to know all this from the beginning to the
end. Right. It's almost as if, like, these days, you know, if someone who's listening to, let's say, some Western news outlets who are lying, you know, who are giving out wrong information, they'll be misled in understanding the world, right? What you're saying is that if you know the Imam, you can be led towards the correct sources, right? If you don't know the Imam, you may be in this wide sort of sea of real knowledge, fake knowledge, all mixed together, right?
Very
that
true.
Is that one huge impact you're saying will
and
have?
And this is also, it needs to be added to this explanation that, brother, when you are actually searching and investigating for finding a right source, you need to find an infallible imam, a person who is actually true in every aspect. Because you cannot actually follow a person blindly while you know that he might make a mistake. If you found a mistake, you are not allowed to follow him.
That makes sense.
To give your whole your religion and your beliefs to him. No, a person that you are following should be free of innocent, free of, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayat tathir.
إِنَّمَا
يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهَبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to be purified in the most purified manner.
Right. Let's just go for a quick break and then we will be right back.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a ear
All right, so we're back, and we were talking about, you know, this very important topic about what are the characteristics of the companions of the 12th Imam. One of the things that it led us to is knowing the importance of knowing the Imam of your time, how important that is in our religion, how that relates to pretty much all aspects of our life and our beliefs, our ideology. Everything comes from there, right? What are some things that you think we can do to become the companion of the... Is there anything we can do? Is it set in stone who these companions are going to be? Or is there any opportunity for us to do anything?
Yes. Look, we are talking and we are enumerating, brother, the features and characteristics of the companions of Imam. So then we can actually put them somewhere as a criteria and see how far or close we are. So we can actually evaluate ourselves in case Imam actually refers. Are we among his followers and at least companions, far companions, not close companions?
Yeah.
Or not, we are among far companions. Or no, we are not even included among the companions because we don't have any of those features.
Now, by the way, one of the things that comes up is this very popular number, right? Mm-hmm. The Imam will have 313 companions. One of the things that I used to do in the past is I used to work in universities and people are applying for admission to university, right? If I were to tell someone that this university, the admission rate is like 0.0001%, they're going to be afraid of applying. They're going to be like, this is impossible.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me, it's almost impossible to become this one of the 313. Yeah, there's out of 8 billion people, there's only going to be 313. How do we make sense of this?
Being among those 313 people is not something impossible. So because
it's
we
not
are
possible?
It's not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. Okay.
It's not impossible. And we, because you are Muslim and we believe in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَا يَأْسَ مَنْ رَوْحَ اللَّهِ لَلْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِ. That is, we are not among those who get disappointed, except those who are kuffar infidels, are disappointed from Allah's mercy. But we are Muslims. There is no disappointment in this issue. So we are not saying that we are going to get disappointed, that we are among them or not among them. Second, do you think that Imam is going to capture the whole world with this number of 313 people?
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand, right? You know, how is that going
to
happen?
So we want to say that this number that has been said is for the leaders of the army of Imam alayhi salam, not for the whole army of Imam.
I see.
You see?
It's almost like you're saying they're going to be maybe like the presidents or the governors of different areas.
Definitely. So Imam is looking, because from centuries ago, our other Imams were thinking, were making us ready and prepared for this government to come. They said that this government at least requires or needs 313 leaders, or I don't know, you have to prepare yourself for that time too, for the arrival of Imam to be present, right?
Right.
So it doesn't mean that anyone out of these 313 is not going to be a companion of Imam. No, they will definitely be among the companions of the Imam.
Right. You're saying that 300, as long as we're helping the system in a way as much as we can to the best, even today, for example, I would say, how many people become the president of a country? Mm-hmm. It's very few. It's like, you know, but people still go for it, right? Like people still try. The ones that have the desire or the willpower to do that.
Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. Why don't you please just give us your final thoughts on this?
Let me give you a brief explanation on this. These 313 people are going to be that much experienced and that much pious. So we should not get disappointed. No, we are not going to be among those 330. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a chance, a tawfiq, to be included among this circle. If not, inshallah. Again, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we experienced that time, if hopefully it happens, inshallah.
And you know, my father, I'll just finish off on this. My father used to say, hey, if I can even become a cook for the army of the 12th Imam, I'll accept that. You know, if I can become a cleaner,
Yeah.
So we're saying we want to try our best, obviously, but we want to be part of that system. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed, and please come back and listen to more. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.